You've had a dynamic where money's become freer than free.
If you talk about a Fed just gone nuts, all the central banks going nuts.
So it's all acting like safe haven.
I believe that in a world where central bankers are tripping over themselves to devalue their currency, Bitcoin wins. In the world of fiat currencies, Bitcoin is the victor.
I mean, that's part of the bull case for Bitcoin.
If you're not paying attention, you probably should be.
Dr. Jack Cruz, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, sir, for having me.
Well, thank you for being here. I mean, you're making a lot of noise around a topic that I wasn't well aware of. I'm not going to lie. I think I got duped by, or we'll find out if I actually got duped by the Meanses. Callie Means was coming in last year talking big about Maha, getting the food correct, basically telling the story of him being a lobbyist and understanding how corrupt the food system is. And we talked about it last time we were on 2 months ago. This sort of Maha movement has shifted towards focusing on preventative care, particularly in diet. And you were on the Danny Jones show late last year with Callie Means, sort of pressuring him to admit that the vaccine should be pulled off the market. And he did not bite and would not budge on that. And now his sister Casey has been appointed to Surgeon General. And this is something.
Well, let me tell you a little bit about that, because you need to know a little bit about the back history that I don't think I've talked about anywhere on any other podcast. She was going to be named Surgeon General back then, just so you know that. I knew it. And I knew quite a bit of other things. So what was my goal? I knew that Callie and Casey were tied to big tech. They were tied specifically, which you'll be interested in, A16Z, the shitcoiners extraordinaire. And they were also tied to the World Economic Forum through the book deal. So my goal at that time, as part of the person that was big in the mob, like, and Marty, I don't know if you know this back part of the story. Maha begins not with Casey and Callie and Bobby Kennedy. It began with me, Bobby, and Rick Rubin on Rick's podcast the day that I told RFK Jr. that SV40 was in the Pfizer jabs. Mm-hmm. And that's when Bobby found out that I wrote the law for Bukele for a constitutional amendment for medical freedom. And he asked me to use 4 pages of the law. And Bukele cleared me to do that. And then Aaron Seary, who was Bobby's attorney and working with a lot of the stuff that Bobby does with vaccines and ICANN, Aaron contacted me. So just so you're clear, this is 2.5 years ago. This is a year previous to Casey and Callie coming on the scene. And I was always behind the scenes. I was not really interested in getting involved in the shit show. But when I saw these two show up the way they showed up, and when I heard Callie actually say on a podcast that, you know, he was the modus operandi of the Maha movement and he's the one that brought Bobby and Trump together, I said, that's where I draw a fucking line. I'm like, these guys, I know exactly what they're going to do. I see the game plan. They're going to use a shell game. And I needed to have proof. Before you can come out and be a savage, you got to have proof. So I hired 3 former Secret Service agents to actually do a very deep dive. We're talking about the kind of dive that you would get if you were going for a Supreme Court nomination. Okay, it cost me a lot of money. And why did I think it was important? Because, as you know, as a Bitcoiner, you just saw the big scam that happened with Maya Paribu down in Suriname. That happened after. Well, when I hired these guys, when all of my research that I had done was confirmed by them, I said, okay, now we need to go on a podcast very publicly and we need to put Callie's feet to the fire. Why? Because I knew, and he did not know that I knew this prior to the podcast, that his sister was going to be nominated for Surgeon General then. And because he didn't know, and you'll be able to confirm this, or the savages in your audience can confirm this with Danny Jones. Do you know that Callie canceled the podcast to do it into
February?
Well, I think it was April of 25 because he didn't want to give anybody the time of day. So what did I start doing? I started posting some of the information back in November that I found, and the links to the Wojcikis and the links to Brin, the links to A16Z. I didn't give a ton of the information, but let's just put it this way. Enough to make Callie and Cassie squeam a little bit that people in DC started to read all my tweets. And then he called Danny up and said, Danny, I want to do this podcast immediately. And I knew the reason why, because I was baiting him to come so I could hit him with the big stuff. Why? Because you have to understand, these two kids are, you know, tied to the Rockefellers. They're tied to the banking elite. They're tied to the World Economics Forum. Where Callie is linked to the current administration is through Susie Watts. They both were working at Mercury PR. And Mercury PR basically is the front man for propaganda for Big Pharma. And everybody knows that, but not everybody knew that Callie worked for them. And, you know, the story that he sold all you guys, how he fooled you, and I consider you a smart guy, a savage. It's not shocking how he fooled you, because he said as a lobbyist, basically who pays you, you become their bitch, to be quite honest. And you'll say things that will make sense. Everybody in creation who's going to watch your podcast knows that all the things that Casey and Callie have said have been said literally for 30, 40, 50 years, going all the way back to probably Ansel Peace about diet and exercise. Everybody fucking knows that. It's not new. They just decided to repackage it up. And then they actually got in Bobby's ear about it. And when I released all the stuff, did Bobby know what I had? Yeah, he knew. And did the people in D.C. all their antennas up about this issue? Who was most pissed off with Uncle Jack back then? Susie fucking Wiles. Why? Because those two are her babies that were going to be the amber that Susie, Cassidy, Big Pharma were going to place around Bobby Kennedy once he got confirmed. And that's why, for the savages that are listening to this podcast, you go back and look at Nicole's tweet from, you know, I guess it was about 4 or 5 days ago, that this didn't make sense. Why? Because I gave the data directly to the people in DC behind the scenes of what was really going on. And because it was so explosive, that's the reason Susie had to not give the job to Casey Means. She had to wait till the heat died down. So they elevated Jeanette, and Jeanette basically she's a good soldier for Trump, you know, for the MAGA people, you know, her being on Fox, and she took shit, you know, for her role. But the thing that the savages need to know, the shit hit the fan with her because she was also pro-vax. Well, you have to remember, Susie, Mercury, the WEF, made sure that they crafted Callie and Casey over 2 years prior to this so that you would never realize that they were just like Jeanette. Why? Because they had all the fancy propaganda around them. And the person that was the book agent for Good Energy, believe it or not, was one of Klaus Schwab's book agents. And that was one of the pieces of data that my researchers found. And I dropped that on the podcast. The other big drop that I made that I think you would be interested in is the link between A16Z. I didn't say at that time all the stuff that we had. For example, the $57 million that Callie and Cassie got from A16Z, because if I would have given people that right off the bat, I wouldn't have been able to out Susie Wiles, to be quite frank with you. And I want people in MAGA, and I'm being very honest about this, I still support Donald Trump 100%. I don't support the pick of Susie Wiles because Susie Wiles, as the chief of staff, is the reason why Bobby Kennedy is a fly in amber. She's put everything around him to make sure to make his job extremely difficult. She's working in concert with guys like Bill Cassidy, which is why you saw in the confirmation hearing. Bill made Bobby, you know, genuflect. And then they got the promise from Nicole not to say any shit about this whole shit show during the confirmation process so Bobby would get in. Callie on that podcast also told you, the world, meaning Marty and your audience, that he would not seek a spat in Trump's, you know, toe. But guess what? He's there now, isn't he? And when you saw that they pulled Jeanette's, you know, nomination literally the day before her confirmation hearing, that to me totally outed Susie Wiles. And that's when I took my cape off and said, no, this is not going to fucking stand. And that's when I posted about Dr. Victory, who was called by Bobby the week before and offered the Surgeon General's job. And I knew, because Bobby offered it to her, who was behind elevating Casey Means. And why did all the things go down the way they went down on the Danny Jones podcast? Because Susie is a very shrewd lady. Well, guess what I did to her? I used Tom Cruise's idea in Top Gun on her. I'm going to let her come closer before I fucking put a bullet right in her plan. And that's kind of what's happened now, because now Mary Tally Bowden, who I have to tell you is an absolute savage, Mary took all the information after the podcast and she went and did a really deep dive on the links between Casey and Callie, both TrueMed and Levels. And once that data came out, we just kept being really quiet about it until we knew that the switch would happen. And Mary didn't say a word on any of this, just like I didn't. I was waiting for the shoe to drop with Jeanette. And then when we started to hear the shoe was going to drop, that's when Mary wrote a pretty interesting post on April 22nd, showing people the links between what TrueMed, Casey, and Callie really were about. This is the big tech bros behind A16Z. That $57 million payment was so, what's the payoff? If you actually go look at the deck, which, you know, any Bitcoiner can do, you're going to be like, how would A16Z give somebody who doesn't even have the ability to practice medicine that kind of money? Well, when you see what Callie is doing with TrueMed, they're figuring out a way to get this new craze with all the supplement sellers, the food gurus, the other scammers that all of you don't know about in the food and exercise space, the red lights, the whole fucking shebang. Callie's company will operate so that you can use those in tax-deferred accounts, and that is the way they hope to get paid off. And if you put the Surgeon General in and these guys are linked together, all of a sudden, you begin to see how the deck begins to make some sense, because if you use HSAs, FSA accounts to take advantages, this is a part of the United States right now, United States healthcare and centralized medicine, that's not used at all. And their goal is to get cold plunge systems, vitamins, supplements, health tech gadgets, all that bullshit, through. And what is TrueMed really all about? If you really want to boil it down, they basically write letters to the appropriate people to try to get these things through as qualified medical expenses. And if you look at who is sponsors, Tucker Carlson, Joe Rogan, all the big podcasters that had Callie on, these are all the people that are their sponsors. It gets even worse. You probably have heard me say in multiple podcasts, Marty, that I was very concerned about doing, how I stepped into this space was the first podcast I did with Rick and Huberman on Rick's podcast. And I was concerned because Huberman, you know, dad, you know, was a condensed matter physicist. Huberman being at Stanford, knowing where Callie and Casey are based out of Harvard and Stanford, which are definitely tied to all the things that I've uncovered about MKUltra, the Stanford Research Institute, and the Brain Health Initiative. I was concerned that this could be dangerous for me to go do there. When I got in there, I realized that it wasn't that dangerous because Huberman really was a dope, but the interesting things that I uncovered in the deep dive with the three investigators is that Huberman was actually involved in this whole rigmarole with TrueMed and Casey. And that's the reason why he's come out pretty hard since she got nominated through a company called 8 Sleep. And one of the other guys that I give tons of shit to on the internet is Peter Addy, who's another guy who's got an MD that didn't finish his fucking residency. Yeah. And he's totally influencing this whole shit show. And it turns out that this company called 8 Sleep is where Huberman and Adia and a guy named Chris Walker, they're part of this whole thing. And who else is part of this, you know, grift that's getting ready to come? If these people, these Fabians, get inside the gates, we've got the CEO of Hims. And that, you may know, there's a lot of Bitcoiners out there that have problems with their hair being lost. And these guys, you can go do an online questionnaire and they send you these drugs like finasteride to your house. And guess what can happen? You can get horrible HPA damage, which is effectively a TBI that becomes really difficult to overcome. But this whole model of all these grifters, influencers, this will all be paid for. Their goal is through these HSA and FSA accounts. And the reason why they're hardly used at all right now, Marty, they've been on the books for a long time. But when you consider, let's sell the message about food and exercise, and then we can sell through this channel, all of these companies are going to stand to make fucking huge money on the backside of this whole thing. And guess who's behind the whole grift? This is not going to surprise you at all, but A16Z is the funder. And you know from our time in Bitcoin, what do we call them? We call them shitcoiners. And we call them shitcoiners for a reason. And let's be also very blatantly obvious with the audience, because I think you know this, and I think we need to talk about it in this opening monologue. A16Z, they do own Bitcoin, so they technically are Bitcoiners, but they're also the biggest shitcoiner out there. And they spent a lot of money getting Trump elected. In fact, many of the things that happen, you know, with Trump and Bobby speaking at Bitcoin Nashville are tied to those links. So let's not lie. And it's very clear that the guy that's running some of the scam inside the administration now for the shitcoiners is Sachs and Lummis. I mean, that's why these guys have a seat at the table. Why? Because they paid for it. They got Trump elected. But who pushed Trump over the finish line? It's the MAHA moms, okay? Trump does not win without the MAHA moms getting Bobby to join forces. And what was Bobby told right around this Bitcoin Nashville time? That he would have free and unfettered, clear shot to truly change the health. And guess what? Uncle Jack was sitting behind the scenes. And just so you know, I sat with Sam Parker in fucking Nashville with my Kennedy hat on while Trump spoke. Why? Because I wasn't a Trump guy. But I said to myself, guess what? If Trump's serious and he's going to let Bobby run the show, going to run the game, then fuck it, I'm in. Bobby and Nicole told me to vote for fucking Trump. So guess what? I did. Because I was told that MAHA was going to be unfettered. Guess what I wasn't told? I wasn't told that Susie Wiles would be the one putting the amber all around the MAHA movement. But guess what? Marty, you know that I'm a neurosurgeon, right? I'm not a dumb fuck. that Danny Jones podcast was done as my nuclear weapon for fucking Susie Wiles. And now, here we are. Now, we have Politico picking up the story. Why? Because there's a lot more to this grift story and who's involved in it. In fact, I'm going to tell you, anybody who clapped their hands for Casey Means, if you're a Bitcoiner, know that those are not doctors you should be trusting. Why? They're fucking shitcoiners. That's exactly what they are. They're going to continue to push their food and exercise narrative. Why? So they can make huge amounts of money through this link between the Surgeon General and Callie Means. And they're going to have an insight to it. And you just saw Politico literally yesterday post a recorded phone call. What did Callie say? He basically told one of his competitors exactly that I'll use my leverage inside of Washington, D.C. to fucking put you out of business. So, since you're a big Bitcoiner and you have a huge Bitcoin audience, and they may not know what's going on this MAHA side, they may not know what's going on the MAGA side, because I know most Bitcoiners also voted for Trump too. I want to be clear. I'm not anti-Trump. I don't think Trump fucking had anything to do with this. You want to know the truth? I think this is fucking Susie Wiles. But guess what? Trump is loyal to Susie. Why? Because she did get him elected when it was not clear he was going to get elected. But who got him elected was the shitcoiner money from A16Z and all their compatriots and the MAHA mobs. So now we have the shitcoiners against the real people in MAHA. That's actually what's really going on. And I think that the savages in Bitcoin need to understand that we don't trust fucking anybody. We verify. So when people ask me, why did I go spend all that money to verify the truth? It's the same fucking reason I did the same thing with Maya Paribu when she told everybody she's running for president. I went to fucking Suriname on my own dime and found out, is it true or not? Because if it is, great. I will talk about it. But if we're being scammed, which a lot of Bitcoiners were, then we have a duty to speak up. Why? Because that's what our tribe's about. We may not like each other. We may not get along. But the bottom line is, we're about the truth. And I hate to say this, sometimes to get to the truth, you have to go through the fucking mud to get it. And that's kind of what's happened.
Listen, freaks, I know you're tired of me talking about Fold, but I'm going to beat the drum. I'm going to beat the dead horse. If you're a Bitcoiner living in the United States and you're not using Fold, I'm just going to ask one question. What are you doing? You're leaving sats on the table. They've got gift cards. They've got their debit card. You can use your credit card. Just connect your credit card to the Fold app. Use the Fold app to pay off your credit card. And you're going to stack your credit card points and Bitcoin as well. They even teamed up with CrowdHealth to give their members Fold Plus membership at no cost. Don't leave sats on the table. Go sign up for Fold today. Go to tftc.io/fold. There's nothing to lose except sats that you could have stacked. Sup, freaks. This rip of TFTC was brought to you by our good friends at CoinKite. They make the Cold Card Q, my favorite hardware wallet, the most secure hardware wallet on the market. As you can see, it's got the BlackBerry form factor, full keyboard. It's got two secure enclaves. You create your private public keys offline. The device never has to go online, never does go online. So you keep your Bitcoin secure. If you have your Bitcoin on exchanges and you're looking to get it off, secure it in the best way possible. Pick up a Cold Card Q. Go to coinkite.com, find the Cold Card Q, use the code TFTC for 5% off. If you're a power user of Bitcoin, like I am, if you're running a business on a Bitcoin standard, if you're just a Bitcoiner who wants to secure your Bitcoin, get the most secure hardware wallet on the market, go get the Cold Card Q. It's a beautiful thing.
No, it's all discombobulating, right? Because you do, it does seem like there's a potential for Manchurian candidate at the Surgeon General level. And that's why I reached out, because I saw Nicole's tweet from the end of last week. And that stood out to me, because she vehemently, like you said, like the MAHA moms are the reason that RFK Jr. Got elected. And I think as it pertains to Bitcoiners, one of the things that means the most, I won't speak broadly for everybody, but for many Bitcoiners, myself included, is this whole vaccine on the childhood schedule and the mRNA COVID vaccine just being out there.
Hey, look, you got most most of you guys are young. You're having kids. You know, I'm a boomer. I'm not young. I'm not fucking having kids. But my kids are having kids. And here's the point. People ask me all the time, why am I so fucking pedal to the metal about this? 25,000 kids a month, Marty, are getting popped with this vaccine. Just so you know, since Trump has been elected, 3 million doses have been given to children. Okay? So when you hear Marty McCrory come out, you hear Casey and Callie, nobody talking about this. Pam Bondi not arresting anybody. We don't see any of these fuckers, the architects that put this together. Nothing has happened. And everybody says, well, why, can you just give them time because they're playing 5D chess? What about the fucking kids that are getting popped?
Yeah. Like we had Mary on. We had Mary on last month. And that's the thing, like, huge shout out to Mary Tally Bowden. I mean, what she's going through.
She's a savage.
The fact that she's able to do this research and put a lot of energy and focus into this particular topic while she's got everything going on with the Texas Medical Board is something that people should really laud, because she's out there, and that's like from the medical community, like seeing what's happened, that whole trial or hearing that she had a couple weeks ago was completely egregious.
Yeah, she may lose her license over it. That's part of the reason why I came on with you last time. Instead of people sending fucking money to Maya Paribu, how about you, let's bail out Mary. I mean, she's getting crushed. And the thing is, this is the doctor that is going to create the pediatricians for Marty Bent, for American Hobbit, for John Ficori, for all the guys that are big in our space. You need those pediatricians. You don't need them popping your kids with 72 jabs through the first 6 years of your life. But realize, those kids have to get a 3, 6, and 9 month COVID jab as part of the current schedule. And as far as I'm concerned, Mary and I are the loudest two that are fucking furious about this. And we're going straight to the point. We're not playing games here. This is to the death. People need to understand that this is the biggest issue facing Maha now. It's not fucking Fruit Loops. It's not red dye. It's not the metabolic disease. It's going to take you 50 years to die from fucking Fruit Loops. Okay? It's going to take you 50 years to die from processed food. But the messenger RNA job can drop you like Damar Hamlin, can end your career like J.J. Watt, can end your career like all the footballers who've dropped dead on a soccer field. It can happen like that. And there's so many people that are injured. We're talking about the deaths. How about the people that are injured on X that we see all the time? And they're not supposed to have a voice. We're not supposed to say anything because Susie Wiles is the best fucking lobbyist for Big Pharma. Sorry, bro. That's not the way this operates.
Well, do you think that's the intent, is to create this amber, distract people, and hope that they forget? Hope that they forget about the mRNA and just keep it on the schedule.
You know what it is? It's propaganda. I mean, think about it. You know, I've gotten into discussions with Hoddle behind the scenes about Edward Bernays' book in 1921. You know, propaganda. People forget that Joseph Goebbels used that book. Look, propaganda is extremely powerful. And when you have propaganda and it's also got a bully pulpit, which is what Susie's got now, she just uses Trump. We all know what Trump's focusing on is the money, the trade, the tariffs. He gives two shits about that, about Maha, and he said that as much in Nashville last year. He goes, look, I'm just going to turn this over to Bobby and let Bobby do what Bobby does, right? Well, has Susie Wiles done that? No. She's done everything possible. So I can't blame Trump, because Trump's doing probably the number one thing that I voted for him for, was really for the Bitcoin part of this. But am I serious that when Bobby took the knee, got out of the race, now I thought that he wouldn't be hampered? Not only is he hampered, but Nicole Shanahan has been completely iced out by Susie Wiles, if you want to know the truth. And she can't really say anything except the bully pulpit that she's got left from being Bobby's VP. I mean, I have not talked to Nicole about this, but I have no problem saying this. If I was in Nicole's shoes, I would be so fucking furious with Bobby, because basically Bobby and Susie have used Nicole as a bank account for the campaign. And let's face it, Nicole has got some serious skin in this game. Why? She's got a baby with fucking autism. And, you know what happened with Bobby the first test case. I call it the Wiles-Cassidy test case in Texas with the MMR nonsense. People forget. What's Nicole's story with Echo? The injection she got that changed her life and the autism showed up was the MMR jab. So don't think that these fuckers aren't that nefarious, because they are. And the problem is nobody wants to talk about it out in the open. And I just think this is fair game for Bitcoiners, because all of us, like if we, during the time that Trump was getting elected, we all knew that the shit corners like Hawkinson and all that were putting their money in. They were trying to get leverage with Loomis. We saw the bullshit with the bill coming out. Oh, it's not just going to be Bitcoin only. It's going to have all the shit coins in it as well. I mean, dude, we know where that came from. It came from their money that they poured in to MAGA. So they have a seat at the table. We don't know how it's going to end. Marty, this story is no different on the MAHA side. It's exactly the same. That Big Pharma has huge muscle. Their huge muscle inside the White House is Susie Wiles. And Susie Wiles' frontmen in her band are Casey and Callie. Why? Because they're polished lobbyists. And Casey is the polished person from Big Tech, from Stanford. And then Callie has carved his teeth against the food lobby and working for Coca-Cola. It was the perfect cover to set this big psyops that's going on now in MAHA. And Bobby has to run a very tight ship. He has to kiss Cassidy's ass. You can actually see how bad is this. Everybody in Louisiana, and I can tell you because I have a clinic there, we're spending money to get Cassidy out of the Senate right now. Well, guess what? The person that Susie and the RNC are pushing to take Cassidy's seat is fucking worse than Cassidy. Okay? So when you want to know how deep the level of corruption goes to, you know, keep this bioweapons program in place for Big Pharma, dude, it goes deep. And right now, the target, we can't let any more Fabians into Washington, D.C. that are already there. Like Marty Makary, as far as I'm concerned, he's dirty as fuck. But I understand why he was picked. The only guy right now that I can tell you I felt really good about was Weldon and Jay Bhattacharya. Those two guys, I have vetted. They're good people. Weldon got fucking X'd. Now we got Jay still in. Do I still have hope for Bobby? Yes. But Bobby can't tell you the truth, Marty. He can't tell you what I'm telling you on this podcast. Because if he does, not only that, it may not just be fired. He may be taken out like his uncle or his father. That's how serious this game is. And that's how serious Big Pharma is about keeping this. And remember, Big Pharma is just the drug dealer. Who's the ultimate player here? Department of Defense and DARPA. That's who did all the gain of function research. That's where this goes. This is that big a deal. We're talking about corruption inside the gates of Washington, D.C., inside the Pentagon. And Big Pharma is running the game. They're paying for this with the huge amounts of money they've made. And they're empowering Susie Wiles to do what it does. These means people are the small potatoes. But guess what, Marty? This is how you take the deep state apart. How you get up to the doors of DARPA and the DOD is to wake up the fucking savages out there. We got to slay the sacred cows. Like when you got guys out there that are Bitcoiners that are fucking telling you it's about food and exercise, realize because that's a half truth, they're part of the fucking problem too. The influencers are part of the problem. And I know that's not a popular take, but I'm sorry. I don't give a fuck. I'm interested in making sure that if Marty has any more babies, Hoddle has any more babies, any of the Bitcoiners have any more babies, that you guys have pediatricians, that there's no middleman between you so that they can tell you the truth, that they're not incentivized by vaccine royalties to keep popping your kids. Why? Because eventually someday those kids may have to put their pitchforks down and pick up their muskets to fight the bastards that are inside of D.C. And guess what? What kind of soldiers are they going to be when they're all loaded up with this bullshit that's in the jabs? That's how nefarious this problem is, bro. They actually can enucleate the Second Amendment. That's the reason why 25,000 kids a month is a big deal. Mm-hmm. And anybody who has an MD and says it's not a big deal, you are part of the problem.
Bitcoin isn't just a balance sheet asset. It's the benchmark. On May 14th at 11 a.m. Central, Unchained and Strive are hosting a live online event. Every business will buy Bitcoin. The discussion will explore why capital allocation is being redefined through the Bitcoin lens, how performance looks different when measured in sound money, and why building a Bitcoin treasury is becoming a strategic imperative. RSVP at unchained.com/TFTC. That's unchained.com/TFTC. How narrow or wide is the window of opportunity to actually make the necessary first steps towards big change? Because it seems like, I think there's there's a silver lining here, because they're putting all their effort behind it means they're desperate. And I think public sentiment, yep, reason why I'm having you back on so quickly after our last episode is because I think we need to keep beating this drum, because I think public, yep, sentiment, the silent majority at least, is like, what are we doing here? And
yep,
there could be this bamboozle.
I agree with you. I think what you're doing is wise. Anything that we can all do together, what our expertise are is different in different places, but this is something that the American public has to get up. I mean, I will tell you, just in the last 2 or 3 days, I think there was over 2 million hits on Danny Jones' podcast that I did back in December. I would venture to say to you, in the last 2 days, there's been 2 million more hits. People watching it again going, holy shit, the story is right here. But the problem was it made no traction then, because guess what? That's before Trump's first 100 days. It's before you saw that 3 million doses of the COVID vaccine has been loaded up into children since that podcast. I want you to remember that. 3 million doses. So every day, every week, every month, that's why I'm giving you the metric. You know how we always say TikTok next block? You know what the TikTok for the next block for COVID is? 25,000 kids a month. That's who we're putting into the sausage grinder. And I got to be honest with you, if it was one fucking kid, this thing should be pulled. I mean, think about previous history. You're too young to remember this, but me as an old boomer do. In the 70s, we pulled the swine flu vaccine for 7 complications. Think about that. And think about what they're doing now. They're telling you they don't give 2 fucks about us.
Yeah, and the smoking gun there for me personally is the controversy over VAERS, which is like, we used this process for a while and it seemed to work and was rough consensus that you would look at VAERS and see what's happening and then make a decision. And then all of a sudden with this particular mRNA vaccine, it's like, oh, VAERS isn't reliable. We can't rely on any of this.
Well, even though it's not reliable, it underreports. Look at what it's already reported. It's way above every other vaccine that's been out there. And guess what? What have they done? 0. Absolutely 0. And look, I said I had Nico down here about 2 weeks ago. We did a podcast that hasn't gone live yet. So I'm going to say it to you. When you look at money, everybody understands time, inflation, and money. What we're talking about right now is time, inflation, and biology. We are killing people. We're harming them. If you are a nurse and took this job and you can't go to work, that means you can't make any money to support your family. That is time theft, okay? Not only that, it's also wealth theft. How can we expect people to buy Bitcoin who are no coiners if they can't go to work because they're vaccine injured? And it's the number one thing. Like, nobody, if you eat a case of fucking Fruit Loops right now, you can still go to work. But if you take 3 boosters, mRNA, pretty good fucking chance you ain't going to work ever. That's the key that people don't understand. And I'm not trying to tell people the food story is not important. It's important, but it's like fucking literally 20th on the list. Like, this is the elephant in the room. This needs to be dealt with yesterday, not tomorrow, yesterday. Why? Because we're actively subtracting time from people's bank accounts. And it's happening at the most vulnerable people that don't have a voice. Like, we always hear the story about no taxation without representation. Isn't that the same thing when you give a child three jabs at 3 months, 6 months, and 9 months? Who's speaking for the child? Nobody. The pediatricians are lining up to get their vaccine checks. I mean, you know, you're a young guy. You know that Bitcoiners have struggled finding pediatricians to take care of your young kids. Well, every single Bitcoiner that watches this should be fucking furious about it. Why? I'm more mad than you guys, and I'm not the one with the kids. Why? Because I understand it. I understand what the time theft is. I'm absolutely beside myself that more Bitcoiners aren't like, fuck, dude, what did we just sign up for? I didn't realize this is going on. We may get our Bitcoin, but what good is it, Marty, if our kids are all developmentally delayed, neurologically damaged, can't think? What good is it then? Is there a net benefit here?
No, we're lucky in Austin, Texas, to have a good network of private pediatricians that are Bitcoiners as well, which is good. But no, I've got my third kid on the way, and it's like, are you going to try? Like, obviously, I know better than to let them do it, but how many parents out there, obviously the 25,000 kids a day, is like, there's at least that many parents out there just sort of going with the flow, trusting the doctors. And this gets to this whole pay to play on the vaccine side of things is incredibly insidious and seems like an obvious conflict of interest that should be addressed.
I think Mary has done a beautiful job with that, you know, through her own Substack. She's been a firecracker. Every time her and I, almost every podcast, this is what we talk about when we talk about the biology time theft. The problem is we're just, both of us, me and her, we're so frustrated with Americans out there that don't understand how big a deal this is. Like, everybody would be furious if we went into Iran and, you know, 300,000 or 400,000 kids came back dead. Right now, the low end of that number is about 500,000 in the United States, up to 17 million. That's globally. So realize what we're saying. More people have been taken out from this jab in the United States than all the wars in the 20th and 21st century combined. And nobody's upset with that. In fact, I said on a couple of podcasts, it sounded hyperbolic, but I mean it literally and figuratively, that if you listen to the advice of the Colombian drug cartel versus what Fauci et al., the science said, you would get better advice from the Colombian drug cartel. Why? The number of deaths from cocaine, fentanyl, and drug overdose was less than it was during the COVID times. How do you like that? That should be a shocking revelation to everybody. But guess what we're still talking about? Fruit Loops, red dye number 5. And you want to hear the ultimate irony, Maury? Do you know that Cali used to protect Pfizer and all the people that sold the opiates in the beginning? So he knows the game. He clearly knows the game, and he's playing us all for fools again.
Yeah. And there's a ton of people out there who may have their doubts, but they're a bit apprehensive to make the jump to fully like on board with this. Cause they obscure the data, right? Like, we've had Ed Dowd on quite a few times over the last 3 or 4 years now. At this point, he's jumped into the data, whether it's disabilities, life insurance claims, life expectancy, excess deaths. And the data is there, but they do a good job of saying it wasn't the jab. Yeah. It was COVID. Right. And people sort of say, all right, they're telling me it was that. So I'm going to believe them. And maybe it's not the jab, but it's like, they're. And I think Kevin McKernan, I think we talked about this 2 months ago, but bears repeating, like the paper, the preprint out of Japan that showed that the types of cancers that emerged post 2021 when the jab rolled out completely changed. And they changed to areas of the body where the mRNA vaccine was congregating. And then they ripped that preprint out. And so it's like, oh, they're telling you that's fake news, but the data's there. Like, the distribution of cancer types changed dramatically in Japan in that one study. And it just so happens to be in the area where the vaccine sort of sets in the body.
Correct. I mean, look, the data is everywhere you look. The problem is if you're not willing to pick up the stone to look. It's the same argument that we have with normies with Bitcoin. Absolutely the same thing. If you're not willing to do the work and look at the data that's going, like, I get so frustrated with people. I was like, how much more data do we need? And not only that, like Ed Dowd and another guy named John Bedoin, he's got coding data. We're talking about data of the highest level. Like, you don't even need a PhD researcher with John's data. It's blatantly obvious through hospital systems. And the hospitals didn't know what John was doing. He actually collected unbelievable data that should get every savage out there. And when Ed talked about all the stuff with insurance claims, you know, going through the roof, like, that should really resonate with Bitcoiners. Why? Because you're seeing monetary ties to time theft. That's exactly what his data says. And I don't know, like, I guess as a doctor, Marty, I'm kind of really frustrated that I think that we have done better work exposing this fraud than anybody in Bitcoin has done exposing the fraud of money. And the crazy thing that you said a little while ago is that, okay, well, they've explained this away, we'll believe them. We don't believe them anything about money, so why the hell would you ever believe them anything about the science?
Yeah. And the other thing is, like, COVID doesn't seem that bad anymore. Like, why do you need a vaccine against it? Like, you hear people getting COVID, it's like, I had a sore throat for a couple of days. It's like, is this something that necessitates a vaccine?
That's a common sense argument. But the thing is, there's no common sense about anything centralized medicine does around vaccines. That's the whole point. And remember, the emergency use authorization, in order to make the vaccine legal, it has to be by law on the childhood schedule. And here's the bigger, you want to hear a bigger common sense thing? Kids never got sick from that, even when the shit show was going on. So why in the hell would you ever vaccinate a child to give them that risk? The risk-benefit ratio is so upside down, and it's clear that the incentives are driving the outcomes. But my belief is that the reason the government's really doing it is because this is where the bioweapons program is based, and this is why they're not going to give up on it. This is actually how they're going to get long-term compliance. That's the game that's really going on here. When I told a couple of people, in fact, I've said this, and I know it got back to Luke Grohn, but he got very, very reticent about what I said. I said, dude, they're tapering the Ponzi scheme. I said it on Danny's podcast, and I mean that. The people that are out there that have money, like me, Larry Lepard, those kind of Bitcoiners, they're looking to take us out. And if they take us out, what happens? Money comes back to the Treasury. They don't have to pay us out on Social Security. That's another way to deal with the debt burden, the $37 trillion in debt. If you want to know the truth, that's what Trump's main problem is now. He's got to figure out how to refinance $27 trillion in debt in the next 18 months. That's what the whole tariff game's about. That's where his focus is. His focus isn't on this MAHA shit. It's not. And I know that. But at the same time, he needs to understand that the lady that got him in, and I understand why he's loyal to her, because without her, he doesn't get in. And I actually said on Twitter in the last week that if I was Trump, I would write Susie Wiles letters of recommendation because she's spectacular at her job. But what does that mean for MAHA? Because she's so good at her job, that's why you need to understand how nefarious this is, what she's doing with Cassidy, with Callie Means, Casey Means, and all the other people in Big Pharma, because that link to Mercury PR, that link of her being the number one lobbyist, is off the chain.
What is the plan with the bio? Like, what are we trying to foil here in terms of the long-term bioweapons plan moving forward?
Like, bioweapons plan, it's Internet of Things in you. If they can get things injected in you, it's the Internet of Things in you. And ultimately, that's the next level to what's going on. Right now, they can incapacitate you with the use of atoms and non-native EMF around you. Eventually, they've got the power with Space Force and Elon Musk to send, you know, the light frequencies to do the things they need to do. But now they need to get the RFID chips and the chips in you in ways that are novel. What's the whole story with Elon? That's what Neuralink is all about. It's the, how shall I say this? It's the good part of the utopian side of the story. What's the dystopian side? The dystopian side is if you can use either processed food, supplements, or vaccines to get those things into people, then you can remotely get them to do what you need them to do. And that's effectively what the long-range plan really is. And when you understand that that level of control, like people think that this science is not well thought out and also experimentally done through DARPA, I got some bad news for you. Start following some of the people that follow me on Twitter. You'll find out just how far down the path that is. And who are the companies that are investing in that stuff? That's A16Z. All the big tech bros, Sergey Brin, Mark Zuckerberg, Elon Musk, all the guys that were in the PayPal Mafia, Peter Thiel, some of those guys are Bitcoiners, just so you know that. And don't think that they haven't figured out, well, I don't need to get your seed phrases if I can control you. You'll be able to do what I want you to do. And that ultimately is the plan here. That's 20, 30 years down the road. So your compliance today is a big deal. And that's the reason why we've got to push hard to keep these people out of the mix. It's a real interesting conundrum that we have, because if you're too myopic, and I'll be the first one to tell you that some of the things that I said on some Bitcoin podcast probably last year wasn't as wise, because I told everybody I was a single vote issue. It was Bitcoin for me and nothing else. But I was very big into this side of the story. And that's the reason why I was on Bobby's side and not Trump's side. And I know most of the Bitcoiners in Nashville, they were pissed off at me because I was wearing Kennedy's hat around Nashville. And I said, look, you guys don't understand that this is like a 51% attack that you guys don't see coming. It's something that Bitcoiners never actually think about. It's not part of their lexicon yet. But that play with the big tech bros, they're not our friends. And don't think they are. I don't give a shit if they YOLO all their money into Bitcoin like Saylor's doing. It's a problem. It's a big problem. And it's a problem maybe not for Marty or Jack in the next 5 or 10 years, but it's definitely going to be a problem for Marty's kids and my kids, you know, 15, 20, 30 years down the road. Because effectively, if we rebuild a feudalist system and medieval system that allows these people to be controlled, it brings you right back to Plato's allegory of the cave, where you're not interested in leaving as long as they give you Circus Maximus, you know, as long as they give you the NFL draft, Starbucks, you know, all the things that you're, you know, used to being addicted to, then you're not going to realize that you are actually the slave in the cave, and you'll play by the rules that they see fit. In my lexicon, my vernacular, bro, that just rubs me the wrong way. Why? I grew up the first 6 decades of my life in a world that was really free. And I know that you guys always get on the boomers, but why a lot of boomers like me and Larry and probably Foss fucking pissed off about this? Because, dude, we lived most of our life and you guys keep going this tech route, kissing the tech ass. You don't realize there's a nefarious side to tech. And if you guys don't realize it, you're going to walk right into the cave. And that thing that Plato wrote 2,500 years ago, you're going to realize that sometimes old people, the wisdom they have, you better incorporate it into your business plan. And I'm going to tell you, you can make fun of all the boomers you want, but we've dealt with these assholes longer than you cats have. We know how nefarious they can be on the monetary side. So now they're ramping their game up huge on the biologic side. Why? Because that it affects everybody, you know, in the United States and effectively everybody in the world.
Yeah. And on the biologic side too, what's particularly scary is it's all encompassing. It's not only the childhood schedule and the fact that the mRNA vaccines are still out there for human consumption, but they're attacking the food system too. Like we've had Dr. Brooke Miller, we've had Texas Slim and many other farmers on the show who are raising alarm bells like, hey, they're trying to put this in the food. And so even if you do a good job of avoiding it in your own body, like they're going to put it in the food that you're going to eat eventually, unless
Correct.
You have
any way they can get it, they're going to get it into you. And that's the modus operandi that I hope. And I know you've done a really good job. I have to give you credit as one of the Bitcoiners that you've actually had your eyes wide open. You don't have the myopia that some others have. And that's good. But, bro, we got to get this message out to everybody, because this is a long-term serious attack on sovereignty, because it's affecting time sovereignty, biologic sovereignty. And if you understand, Bitcoin isn't your most valuable asset. Time is. And if they're stealing your time away, what good is your Bitcoin? Effectively, then you become Steve Jobs, Paul Allen, and Hal Finney. What good is it having billions of dollars if you have no life? And I get really kind of emotional when I think about the kids that are getting popped now. They're having time taken away from them. And look, we spend all this time with, you know, Unchained Capital and Parker Lewis trying to get multi-sigs and do our trusts and all that shit. What good is it if your kids are all handicapped and they can't do anything and you're going to have somebody take care of them? Will there be somebody 30, 40 years from now that are capable of taking care of them? I don't know. Why? Because if you truly understand what this jab does, it takes your ability to think away. That's what long COVID is. It's cognitive AIDS. It changes the oxidation state of heme proteins in your body, meaning that you can't carry oxygen well to your brain. Remember, your brain as a human gets 20% of your cardiac output. So if they can control how much oxygen gets to your key organ, they control the way you think. You know, that when I said it to Danny on the first podcast, that's the one before Callie Means, even he didn't get it as a young guy. He's 37 years old. I'm like, bro, they did this through light. And you don't realize that that now is going to be used at scale. The next part of the Internet Things of equation is, okay, now we got to get the smallest nanoscopic, atoscopic, femtoscopic chips in you that work. And how do they start it? Oh, well, in Sweden, we're just going to put this little chip underneath you and you can use your Apple Pay and all your credit cards. You won't need that. In other words, they always sell you the utopian story first. You never see what's coming on the back end. And right now with COVID, I think everybody's getting to see the back end. And this will be the first of many. You know, I'm not going to be here probably in 30 years. But I think your kids and most of the Bitcoiners listening to this, their kids are going to be around. And some of you guys with Bitcoin, you may be so fucking sick, you won't even have a doctor to go to see in the United States because they won't have a clue about how to do it. Why? Because the things to fix people with these problems is going to be taken out of the curriculums by the people that control that. Who are those? That's Big Pharma. That's who makes the curriculums of all medical schools, all dental schools, physical therapy schools, like you name it. They got the whole casino. And you guys don't really understand that when you own the casino, even though you may have the golden Caduceus chip, that's still not good enough.
And so in your mind, what's the lowest hanging fruit of areas to focus on for people who want to push it back against this? Is it focusing on gain of function research, really focusing on the childhood schedule and getting that off so they don't have the ability to have immunity from a legal perspective?
Well, short term for me, I've made a business plan. What my focus is short term, medium term, and long term. So I've told several of the Bitcoiners have been with me, I think when you're going to sell your Bitcoin to buy something, I think that it has to be something that puts time in your bank account. So, for example, if you can buy your Citadel so that you control your game, you control your food, your water, anything that's coming above you, to me, that's a wise purchase. Short term, the kids have to be saved. Why? Because without the kids, the future is limited. We cannot let the technocrats, the bankers, because what's the ultimate fight that's going on now in D.C.? For those Bitcoiners who don't really see this yet, the Rothschilds and Rockefellers are being taken out by the technocrats. That's really the battle that's going on in Washington, D.C. And it turns out the technocrats have better control mechanisms than the bankers did. The bankers won't go down without a fight, but I got news to you, they are way behind the times. Their control mechanism was through the CBDC, and they're beginning to realize that the CBDC even though the BIS is behind it, likely is not going to work everywhere, especially in the United States. It'll work in Canada. It'll work in Australia. It'll work in Europe. But even there, the savages that are in Europe, like in Czech Republic, that used to be communists, they're not going to sign up for vaccine passports. They're not going to sign up for that. Why? Because they used to be USSR satellites. They know what centralization and communism is all about. So the people that were in formerly places like that, they're not going to play ball with those people. And these people are going to continue to make your life miserable. If you want to know why the people from Africa are running wild in Northern Europe, it's by design. They want to make your life miserable so that you opt for things they want you to opt for. That's exactly the game plan. And I think that the Citadel idea, where you're putting time back in your family's life, do I think all of us together need to begin to form our own country? Like, I believe that the United States in the future, Marty, is going to be Bitcoiners that are all over the globe. But what do? We trade with each other. We make sure that we have enough to make it by. Ultimately, we're the Bitcoin preppers, if you want to use a term that everybody will understand, where we'll trade gas, we'll own gas stations, we'll own farms, we'll own raw produce, we'll own distribution companies that actually go between Texas, El Salvador, and Czech Republic. Like, that's how I envision the future, probably 20, 30, 40 years from now. And do I believe that the normies that are going to play with the ideas of Bessent, Trump, and Lutnick, they're going to come to Bitcoin late. They're going to think that Bitcoin's going to save them. But if they're not plugged in on all these parts, those are the people that will die before they should die. They'll never make it to 80. They may make it to 40, 50, 60. But in the 40, 50, 60 range, they're going to have huge amounts of disease. They're going to rely on doctors that don't know how to fix them. And they'll be taken out quicker. What will that do? That will help the Ponzi and taper it for the people in D.C. Ultimately, that's not good for those people's time. It's certainly not good for their kids' time. Because when you have a sick parent, you know, you feel compelled to try to help them out. Well, believe it or not, the smart answer in this kind of situation is your parents made a bad decision by not getting in Bitcoin and not doing decentralized medicine early. You got to cut the anchor. People are going to have to make that decision at some point in the next 20 years. And especially when they've been loaded. In fact, if you really listen carefully to what I said at the end of the Cali Means podcast, when I got him to admit that he took the jab and his sister took the jab, I said, well, we know what happened to your mother, that she got a disease that was not a metabolic disease, and she died in 13 days. I said, if you know anything about transgenerational epigenetics, do you know what the biophysics says? The same diseases that your mom got at 70, you're going to get at 40 and 50. That's actually, nature will take care of these people. They are so nefarious, they don't even realize when they got high on their own bag, it caused their demise. And if you remember listening to that podcast, the reason I'm making this point to you, I brought up Susan Wojcicki. She died of adenocarcinoma, a smoking cancer. She doesn't smoke, but she mandated, she was part of, you know, Sergey Brin and all the guys that are into the Internet of Things. Those are all A16Z's guys.
Susan Wojcicki, that went way under the radar for one of the biggest censors on the Internet during COVID. Like, we got demonetized. We got taken off, put in timeout for weeks at a time for talking about ivermectin and having skeptical conversations about the jab when it was being rolled out. And it was a turbo cancer, right? Like,
no, it was a turbo cancer. But the interesting thing is she didn't get taken out like Callie's mom, but she got taken out with a cancer because where it showed up was in a favorable place. I think she lived maybe 12, 14 months. But she kept it on the down low. They kept her death certificate off the California boards. Everybody asked the question. Like, everybody who's smart, when we found out it was adenocarcinoma, all doctors know that adenocarcinoma links to cigarette smoking. She's not a smoker. But she lived in California. She was a tech abuser. You know, she was a former Google founder. People forget that, you know, Nicole used to be married to Sergey Brin. And there's a lot of let's put it this way, information. The people that they used to hang out with, the people that were taking care of her, her son, who died 4 months before her, was actually in the Berkeley Library, actually studying things that his mom did, and found out that his mom was involved in this. There's pretty good evidence, if it would ever get uncovered, that this kid was putting things together. The problem is that's all been whitewashed from Berkeley's library. That's where we know that's where he was doing his homework, but we don't know anything else because the family is, you know, put it on lockdown, and for obvious reasons. And I think the point that I want to make to people is that these people have a plan in place. This plan in place is just like the WHO and the British royalty. They've been ruling for 1,200 years since the Magna Carta. They play the long game. These people in big tech industry, they're playing the long game too. They don't need to have this. You know, even losing Casey as the Surgeon General is not a big loss. Why? Because they have other cards they can play. I just explained to you what's happening with Cassidy in Louisiana. Well, they got somebody right behind them that is an exact duplicate. Just doesn't have the pedigree, won't have the connections when they get to D.C., but that's actually better for the big tech guys. Why? Because then they can program her once she gets in. So once you understand the machine and the casino and how they beat you, it's pretty simple. Do not play their game. In other words, unplug from that matrix. Unplug from the centralized healthcare matrix. Unplug from the centralized monetary system. Bitcoiners all got the message about the money. I need y'all to get the message about something else. And the way you do that is, I think, you decentralize your life. You get a true citadel. Be in a place where you know you can make it and you can stay away from the nonsense. Like the stuff that's going on right now in the UK, this should make everybody's head spin. Like the stuff that's going on in Canada. Like if you're Canadian and really think, like, I'd love to hear what Jeff Booth really thinks about what just happened. Because anybody who's a Bitcoiner that thinks staying in Canada is a wise choice, I'm sorry. I can't listen to your opinion anymore. I just can't, because it doesn't make any sense.
Mark Carney's such an egregious plant.
He is.
When you look at his history.
Well, he's a total Fabian. And that is my whole point. Americans don't even know who the Fabians are. And the sad part is, the thing I like to tell people, the easiest way is look to see what their link is to Big Pharma. Another way is to see if they have an APAC handler. That's how you know you're dealing with a Fabian. And you have to realize Fabians are all about one thing, one world government. They're about one control. That's the World Economic Forum game. And if you understand what time theft is functionally, I couldn't say it better than Klaus Schwab said it himself. You'll own nothing and be happy about it. That's really what fiat money and CBDC is about, but it's also about what the jabs are about. That's exactly the same thing. It's the Internet of Things. If they can make you part of their matrix, they've got you.
Yeah. And I really want to dive into the point that you made. They play long games, centuries long games. And I do think there's, and myself included to a certain degree, like post-COVID seemed to be an awakening. Maha movement before it got corrupted had some strong momentum and people thought we were winning. And we certainly have had many wins over the last couple of years, but this is an ongoing.
Not big enough to make an impact on your time. Just remember, Marty, since COVID, if you live in a city, you die sooner than you ever. This is the first time it's ever happened. Just realize that. Like, you remember how you said about Ed, he's shown all these tremendous changes. We are seeing long-term health chain trends flip. Like, if you live in certain places, like you live at high latitude and you took the jab, this is a fucking death sentence for you. It's not a good situation. And people don't know this. They don't understand that population centers, where people are at, they're going to be really, really bad places to be.
Why is generally, that? Shedding or something?
No, because what I told you before, the Internet of Things, what does it use? It uses wireless radiation to connect to those RFID chips in you. So right now, they're putting it all around you. Eventually, it's going to be, like, if you live in the West, if you're west of the Mississippi, Elon Musk has already got you. Okay? That's the reason why they're trying to cut trees down east of the Mississippi, because the control system is up above. That's the ultimate game plan. So you know this as a Bitcoiner that's doing your Citadel. Make sure that your Citadel is surrounded by 100, 150-foot tall trees, and then make sure that, like on my roof, you'll see it when you see Nico's podcast, because we did the podcast from my roof. My roof is made out of grass. I actually have, I'll show it to you, steel beams, right, with teak wood, and on top of that is a whole lawn of grass up there. Why? Because that blocks electromagnetic radiation. That's what it does. And the more greenery you put around it, like if you could see the work that's going on my house right now, I am actually planning for 10, 15, 20 years down the road, Marty. Why? Uncle Jack may be dead, but guess what? I got a 24-year-old daughter. I got a 31-year-old son. Like, this is the Citadel, okay? And am I building it that way with the trees that you see around me? Yes. The pool. That's a cold plunge pool. Look at the size of it. Okay? All my water comes directly from the volcano. It's all deuterium depleted. None of this shit was cheap. But guess what? Bitcoin made it happen. And to me, you know, when I listen to the guys that are on Preston's podcast or someone else's tell me, oh, well, you shouldn't spend money on that, I think it's better that I spend money on this stuff than a Lamborghini. Why? Because this ultimately may put time back in my family's bank account. And to me, that's what matters. Doesn't mean that my kids are going to do it. Just like, you know, your family, I'm sure there's people in your family that you've talked to blue in the face for 10 years about Bitcoin and they still don't get it. Well, guess what? Those are the people that are going to be in the other part. That's why I always tell people, and it infuriates them when I say it, as a decentralized doctor, I take care of my tribe. If you're not in my tribe, I'm not concerned about you. Like, if you're a shitcoiner, I've said this to so many Bitcoiners, and they look at me like I'm mad. Bitcoiners need shitcoiners. You know why? We're the predator, they're the prey. That's the key. And that's the lesson from nature. And there, I don't expect everybody to YOLO in 99%. No, that's not how I see the world headed. I do believe the guys in the one world government are going to be able to control a lot of people in the world. But Marty, they're not going to be able to control you or me. Why? Because we're hip to the game. And what are we doing? We're putting things in place that 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, we got a plan. And you know what? We can only do the best. Like, there's no absolute truth. The truth is an approximation of the best data and what we believe today. And what I believe today is that everybody who's a Bitcoiner should be focusing in on time. If you focus in on time, you'll always make the right choice with Bitcoin. Okay? Why? Because they're indelibly linked, but linked in a different way. And when you understand that your biologic time is the key to everything in your own business plan, in your will, and your children, and your family life. If you're fortunate and you have an excess because you were wise in 2010, 2011, 2013 to buy that extra Bitcoin, you're going to be able to pick the normies out that are drowning in the Fabian soup. Those are going to be the A16Z flood that's going to drown millions of people. Or the BIS. Whoever wins the battle that's going on right now between the bankers and the technocrats, I just want everybody to be ready for the battle, because the battle isn't just about the Federal Reserve. It's not about just Jerome Powell. Just remember, the people who we're considering our friends now, they're frenemies. They'll be our future enemies down the road, and you need to be mindful of that. That's my point. I just want that awareness out there. So that, you know, 20, 30 years ago when I'm dead and people, and you're still doing the podcast, you're going to say, bro, put this on and look what Jack said. He's warning us. Why? Marty, I'm going to tell you a story about the tree behind me. I get the benefit of that tree, but some bastard put that tree in a long time ago. He had no idea of what that benefit would be. I'm telling you, that's what this podcast is. When you said to me, what can we do? We have to get people to be first principle thinkers. That's decentralized thinkers, people where we use the known to understand the unknown. And right now, there's a lot of unknowns around money and about our health. And if you stick to what we know and you keep executing that 1% every day, you will be a savage in the future. That I can promise you. That's my tribe.
I think that's one of the most important points to make, is it can all seem overwhelming and overbearing at times, but just making a 1% improvement, whether it's every day, every week, every month, just trying to get better, decentralize your life, whether that's your money, your health, and your mental health too. Like, getting to your point about different areas of control, the BIS, they have the CBDC, the big pharma, they have their gain of function driven vaccines that they're giving, but then like big tech, like the algos, I'm not sure if you picked up on this in the last couple of weeks, but here in the States, like the algos really driving this racial tension. It's just, you can't go on the For You feed without seeing some sort of attempt to divide the races here in the United States.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta remember, they're gonna do whatever they can to control us. And the thing is, people ask me all the time when we talk about stuff like this, am I a pessimist? I'm not. I'm optimistic. Why? Because Marty and I can come on. I mean, there's a chasm between us. He's not a boomer. I'm a boomer. And when I hear Bitcoiners out there try to make that chasm, it's the same thing with what they're trying to do between the races. Just realize, I have wisdom that you don't have. You have wisdom that I don't have. What's the best thing to do is to sit down and do a podcast together and share it. Why? Because you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater when you're a first principle thinker. You may say, you know, Jack is an asshole, but you know what he's saying right here, this is actually kind of important. And then there's going to be other times where, well, Jeff Booth's a really nice guy, but I can't fucking believe he still lives in Canada. That to me is completely incongruent. Doesn't make any sense at all. The point that I'm trying to make is, take the stuff that's the first principle stuff, the knowns, build your life around that. Then all of a sudden, the things that everybody was worried about may not be such a big deal down the road. And then when you know that you're on the right path, you have a duty to come on podcasts like this and tell other savages how you did it, why you did it, and that you can do it too. This is not, you don't have to be a brain surgeon to do this. You don't have to be a billionaire Bitcoiner to do this. All you have to do is to be a first principle savage thinker. And that means, if you have only $100 to put into Bitcoin right now, that's good. That's a perfect place for you to start. But I want you to be a savage. Why? Because someday down the road, all the people who are no corners, they're going to make that $100. They're going to make you very wealthy. And that's going to give you enough money to build a citadel so that you can protect you, the people that you care about. That's what can happen. That's what happened in the United States in 1796, in 1820. Everybody was poor. But guess what? Look at us now. It changed. And things have a way of changing. And people don't understand that time relativity is a big deal. Not only is it your most valuable asset, but the way things can change can happen on a dime. Everybody in Bitcoin knows that, because you can go from 69,000 to 105,000 in a matter of a year. It can happen. We know it. Like, when people tell you at the Thanksgiving table this coming November that this can't happen, you know that you're talking to an idiot. Now, you get to decide, you know, do I want to keep engaging this idiot? What I do is I don't talk to those people. And then they get mad at me and they say, well, why don't you want to educate me, but you're on Twitter educating? I said, dude, if I'm going to dance with you, you got to move your feet. If you're not willing to move your feet mentally, I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to waste my time. My time is valuable. Savages want to hear this information. I'm not interested in talking to the non-savages, just like I'm not interested in the talking to food gurus, exercise gurus who want to talk about Fruit Loops and, you know, the ketogenic diet and, you know, fucking food dyes. No, I want the Messenger RNA platform removed so that children aren't being harmed immediately.
Yeah. Well, on that point, before we wrap up, I've got to jump at the top of the hour, but on that point, what would signal to you that we're moving in the right direction as it pertains to MAHA at the federal government level?
If by the end of this year, everybody in unison realized the MRA platform is bad news and it's gone. That to me is, I almost hate to say this, Marty, because it goes against my grain. I would tell you the biggest win is to get rid of the MRA platform even before any of the Bitcoin stuff. And it kills me to say that, because if you would have talked to me 6 months ago, I would have said the other way around, because I would have thought it was a given that Bobby was going to get rid of this right away. Now I don't see it as a given. In fact, I think it's the biggest thing. And because children, time is being subtracted, I think it's so fucking disingenuous to come on a podcast and tell you, oh no, you need to buy Bitcoin, forget about all that other shit. No, because Bitcoin is worthless if you have no time. And I think that you can argue with me, but if you want to get into that debate, I'll chew you up like a baby seal.
Yeah. And Dr. J, I can't pronounce his last name.
Bhattacharya.
He's on top. He's said things publicly.
He's a good dude. He's a really good dude. No, he's, I've talked to him offline. I don't mess with him at all, because he is now the guardian of science. Like, he's the guy that I need to start getting all these PhDs once I get their head out of their asses with food and exercise and they start studying light. I just did a podcast with one of the big gastroenterologists about the microbiome. And she's working in the autism space. She's got huge grants. Did a 2-hour podcast with a PhD about that. You go listen to that podcast, Marty. This is why Jay is important, because what Dr. Sabine Hazen is going to do in the future is going to save your children, Marty. Okay? And when people look at me and they're like, Jack, I don't get your game in this, bro. I've always been about destroying centralized medicine and building decentralized medicine. And what am I doing? I'm playing the long game like the big tech bros and the WEF guys are doing, except I'm doing it for your time bank accounts.
Thank you for reminding me. I have to catch up with Dr. Sabine, because I had an example of this in the last week. Family member of mine has probably taken the mRNA jab, gut problems, like infection, and I had to send information that Dr. Sabine's been surfacing over the last couple of years. So that's what people don't realize. Literally attacks your gut biome, destroys all that.
Yeah. Well, it's one of the things, it attacks it in a lot of different ways. But I would encourage people, like, after they hear this podcast, go listen to the one I did with Sabine Hazen and Alexis Jasmine. You know, I've been trying to get Alexis as a PhD out of the metabolic phase. You know, she trained at Princeton. That's the best metabolic lab in the world, just so you know that. She now understands how important light is and a lot of the things that you and I talked about in this podcast. So guess what? If I can transfer the wealth of knowledge in my head to Alexis, and then it goes into Sabine, and she can help Marty's family, bro, that's a win. No matter which way you slice it, it's a win. And when people say that we can't help others remotely or wirelessly, I just showed you how it can happen. It can happen. And I think as long as we keep doing those things, because, you know, I took an oath, even though I don't like the people that complied, I don't like the Peter McCormicks of the world for taking the jab, I still have took a duty to help those people. Those people are hurting now. They're sick. And I'm still working on behalf of them, even though I'm pissed off with them because they made my job harder to fight against the machine. These people are hurt. What are we going to do? We're just going to let them fucking die? No, we can't do that. We've got to do what we can do. And keeping people like Callie and Casey out of the government is one of those steps. Why? Because if we let them in, those people that are sick will never get better. They will die.
Yeah. No, to your point too, like, we have a really good private practice doctor here, and we've got to move closer to family later this year, but we're going to stay on telemed because we trust the doctor, and it's pretty simple. You do not need to meet in person. And maybe, well,
isn't that the same thing I said between us about Bitcoiners? We can do this. We can get on a podcast, and technically, we are in the same country. It's called Bitcoin country. We're not defined by borders, my friend. We're defined by ideas, because we're decentralized first principle thinkers. That's the game.
Yeah. Thank you for making noise. I know you said it. A lot of people think you're an asshole, think you're bombastic, but I do think it's extremely important. And this whole Surgeon General thing, especially after your interview on Danny Jones with Callie, it's like, why do you refuse to talk about the elephant in the room? Like, if you're not willing to talk about the elephant in the room, I can't trust you. I'm sorry.
Correct.
It's
no doubt. I just hope Bitcoiners get a little bit more vocal about this and realize that we have to trim the scammers and the grifters no matter where we see them. Why? Because effectively they're time bandits, and we just can't stand for that. And I think when you realize it's not just about you and me, it's about your kids, the future. Just play the long game, because Bitcoin is playing the long game. It's not a short time preference. It's the same thing. And that message, I'm going to keep resonating, whether people like it or not. I'm going to do it in ways that's going to make you think that you're in the army and you're going through a drill sergeant, or you're going through an M&M conference like doctors do when they're in neurosurgery. That's exactly how I run my Twitter feed. I treat you like a junior level resident, and I'm not going to tolerate your fucking mistakes. Why? Because people's lives are at risk. That's the truth. That's the time issue that I care about. That's why I took that oath. That oath means something to me, still means something to me. And I'm furious it doesn't mean that to all these employed doctors.
It seems like it's losing meaning to many of the employed doctors across the country, which is
very sad. What happens in a middleman. You know, when you're not working for the patient anymore, you're working for a boss, and a boss can tell you what to do. Look, I don't even think a lot of Bitcoiners understand that over 95% of doctors now are employed by somebody else. They're not even working for you. They're working for HCA. And they're working for Susie Wiles. So whatever Susie Wiles says, guess what? You're going to have to do. I mean, if you don't believe me, look at what poor Mary's going through. She's not even an employed doctor, and they're still going after. Why? Because the hospital reported her for trying to save someone's life. In your state, Marty, that's the crazy part. It's absolutely psychotic. And you know, this brings up probably the last point before you got to go. I want people to understand, like, because I just went through this with a Bitcoiner where I had to admonish him. Like, you ask for our help, you realize if we try to give you help on the internet, they could take our license away for that. They're doing that to Mary right now. So if you want help, realize the way to do the help is going to be offline, not online, okay? Because you guys put us at risk. So do you want to take out the doctors that are working on your behalf? I mean, if Mary gets taken offline in Texas, you just lost a library of Alexandria for treating post-COVID injured patients. That's not what you want to do. You want to foster people like Mary and the doctors that are getting cover because she's fighting the battle she's fighting. That's the reason why I love her. She is an absolute Wolverine for your time bank account. All of you need to start realizing that. Guys that are out there like Neil Stone, you guys should absolutely take him to the woodshed. Every single Bitcoiner should absolutely go after him. Make him get off Twitter. I mean, they did the same thing to us. Remember the reverse of this.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't let me and Mary talk. Well, now it's time to turn the tables. Let's make their life miserable. Why? Because the truth is on our side. Because time is on our side. It's as simple as that.
Yeah. Now, let's use this opportunity. Call to action. Vocally support Mary and what she's doing. It seems like the Texas Medical Board is dead set on sending a message saying don't do what she was doing, which is talking Correct. Publicly and freely, which is insane in the United States. The fact that doctors can't
They're warning every single doctor in Texas that fuck with us and we'll do the same thing to you. So I'm just telling you, every savage in Texas who listens to this, and hopefully, Marty, you send this to a lot of the people who are Bitcoiners in Austin. I'm going to be honest with you. I've been stunned that nobody in Texas has actually stepped up to the plate to fight against, because you guys all live there. I just don't get it. I'm furious about it. If I can tell you, if I lived in Texas, it'd be on like Donkey Kong.
Yeah. I'll make some more noise about it. We got to have Mary back on.
She's a really, I mean, I'm proud to call her a colleague.
Yeah. And she's just an incredibly gentle. I only had an hour long conversation with her, but incredibly gentle, seems very humble and earnestly trying to do her job. And you can tell, at least I could, from speaking with her, that she does have the patient's best interest at heart, which is what you want.
That's what patients need, especially if you're a Bitcoiner.
Yeah.
She's trying to make your life better. So I think we need to make her life better.
Yeah.
This battle for her, they're trying to take away something that she's worked for her whole life. over saving a patient's life, if you can believe that.
With ivermectin, which is a miracle drug, or it was a miracle drug before COVID.
It's just stunning to me. It really is.
Yeah, it really is. Well, we'll keep on this beat. Hopefully we win the war. Hopefully this gets out there. We're listening. Don't fall prey to the propaganda. The elephant in the room isn't being addressed. It needs to be addressed, and don't relent until it is.
It's a great message to end on.
All right. Peace and love, freaks. Okay. Freaks, thank you for listening to the show. I hope you liked it. If you did like it, please make sure you subscribe, rate, review the show. It helps us out a lot. And also, if you like these conversations, I've come to realize that many people listen to the podcast. They don't know we have another sort of layer of this media company. We have the newsletter, the Bitcoin Brief. Go to tftc.io. Make sure you subscribe there. A lot of the topics that are discussed on this podcast, I write about 5 days a week in the newsletter. We also have the TFTC Elite tier. If you sign up for that, become a member. We have a private Discord server for the elite freaks out there, where we're dropping ad-free versions of this show and having discussions about everything we talk about a day early. Logan wanted me to make sure, if you want to get the show a day early, become a TFTC Elite member, you will get that. We have our Discord server. Right now it's conversation between myself and TFTC Elite tier members, but we're going to expand that. We'll probably do closed Q&As with people in the industry. I may be doing Macro Mondays. So join us. Go to tftc.io. Subscribe. Find the button in the top right corner of the website. Become a TFTC Elite member. Thank you for joining us. Okay.